listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, Taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me a longtime friend, James Turk. James grew up, like me, in the Buckeye State, but his horizons have spread globally from there. I mean, he's been around the world, and geez, he's worked in places like Thailand and the Philippines and Hong Kong and Abu Dhabi and places like that in the financial arena. He worked for Chase Manhattan some of those places. But more importantly, I know James not so much for his days in the among the big money-centered banks, but sort of as a person who understands the game of the money-centered banks and understands how they're not always in the best interest of the common folks. And James understands gold. If his former colleagues don't, he certainly has been involved with his whole life, with his adult life, most of it anyway, in trying to help people preserve their wealth by owning gold, and in fact owns a patent or two to use gold as money. So those are some of the things we want to talk to him about. And it's goldmoney.com is where you should go to learn more about James, about gold money, and some excellent free services that are there, a lot of good economic content, market commentary there. That you can avail yourself to. Thanks for joining me today, James.
Jay, it's always great to be with you.
Always good to have you, and I understand that you're actually on our continent now, up there in New Hampshire, your lovely estate up there. I wish you were around here more often, but you've decided to leave America. Probably it might be a good idea for more of us to do that. I don't know. I want to talk to you about gold money for sure. That's what I want you to talk to us about. In fact, we've had Roy Sabag and other members of your team up there on this show in the past, and it certainly seems like an exciting thing. Maybe before we get started with that, could you talk a little bit about the patent that you have and how that plays into the services that Gold Money is providing now?
Yeah, you know, there are different types of gold currency. There's gold coins, there's gold certificates, and then there's digital gold, which is what my patents were about. You know, I applied for the patent, Jay, back in February of 1993, you know, long before the possibilities of the Internet were even considered, got the patent approved in 1997. Other patents were also approved. So what we've done is we've created digital gold currency, and the advantage of it is that you're using gold as a form of currency, but instead of having the coins wearing out from abrasion or possibly getting lost, the gold stays safe and secure in the vault, and you click a weight of gold from your account to the payee's account. So the gold stays in the vault, but it's being used as currency because it circulates from the payer to the payee. So it's a unique invention, and I think it's going to become increasingly important in the future as problems with national currencies become more apparent, because it is efficient and it is safe. The other thing, of course, that's driving it is it's a process where, you know, people have moved from national currencies circulating digitally to now cryptocurrencies circulating digitally.
Yeah.
You know, once gold comes back in favor and people understand the attributes and characteristics that gold has, I think digital gold currency will become more popular as well. But, I mean, gold money continues to be popular not just as a payment mechanism, but also as a place to store and save, you know, gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. And we're currently storing approximately $2 billion of customer assets.
Wow, that's very impressive. Well, you have this, this payment system that allows, are you seeing some corporations now start to use that, James, as a means? I guess if there are two companies that do business together, if they both have accounts at Gold Money, they can just simply move that back and forth for payments, right?
Yes, that's right. And payments in Gold Money are free compared to payments that you're making through the banking system or wire transfers. They're also instantaneous, global, 24/7. And we are doing more and more marketing in the corporate and business area, and I think that's likely to grow in the future. We've added a lot of services that they've asked for, like you can do payrolls now in gold, as an example. And, you know, along with the MasterCard that Gold Money offers, you know, to individuals as well as to businesses, we expect more businesses will sign up in the future.
Yeah, I'm using it, have used it, have tested it personally. But frankly, I try to keep my gold right there and only use it when I have to, and I haven't had to use it. So so that's a very popular thing, I guess. It certainly works very well once you learn how to use it. I, you know, can take my prepaid MasterCard out of my pocket and buy whatever I want with it. Let me ask you then, James, could you talk a little bit about your gold money? You went out and merged with BitGold. And now BitGold merged into Gold Money, so you're one entity. And more it seems as though there's a sort of cross-fertilization or cross-use of both elements of Gold Money. Can you tell us how that's working? I mean, what was the purpose of bringing both of those together? I guess you have the BitGold has the payment mechanism, and you guys have a big storage of gold. You've over the years have accumulated a lot of accounts, and I guess the average accounts much larger, perhaps, than what BitGold has?
Yeah, that's exactly right. The two companies were complementary to one another. So when I first met Roy Sabag just over 2 years ago, you know, we both saw immediately that the advantages of bringing the two companies together. And it's now been just under 2 years, Jay, of bringing the two companies together. And I must admit, merging companies is a lot of work, particularly when you're talking global. You know, BitGold had been based in Toronto. We were based in Europe, and that sort of makes things more and more difficult. But we just announced a couple of weeks ago the final little piece of the puzzle, and we're now operating both the former services that BitGold offered and what, you know, Gold Money has always offered under one banner, which is the Gold Money banner. And our main office is still shared between Toronto and Jersey in the Channel Islands in Europe. We just did purchase recently a new building for ourselves in the Channel Islands, right in downtown St. Helier, the capital of Jersey.
Well, just tell me this, James. If I were to own some gold in the old Gold Money account, are there some things I can do with that now that I couldn't do before this merger took place?
Yeah, you can make payments once again. Because of the regulatory issues that were developing back in 2012, we had stopped the payments, which had been available since we'd launched back in 2001. And, you know, a lot of people didn't like that, but it was something we had to do. What BitGold brought to the table was a very comprehensive payment mechanism that enabled us to meet regulations not only in Canada, but throughout the Americas, South America, Europe, and even Asia, we have payment capability now. So we've really become a global force in online gold commerce.
James, if you know, and I know a lot of people aren't focused on this, of course, is that gold retains its purchasing power over time. And, you know, Roy Sabag and the team there at Gold Money they've shown graphs and charts that show, you know, how well even a strong U.S. dollar, quote unquote, strong U.S. dollar over the past few years, you did very well with gold, but especially well a lot of other countries did with weaker currencies. Let's look at gold now. Of course, if you bought gold in 1980 at $850, it took quite a few years to get back to even, and those people that bought gold, as you know, people are prone to buy more when the prices are rising instead of when they're low. At $1,900 in 2011, you know, we're at 11, we're at 1,240, something like that today. Takes quite a while, but longer term, gold retains its purchasing power. So in my view, the thing to do is to, if you have savings, don't keep it in currency, for goodness sakes, especially when it's paying you zero interest to put it away somewhere. Just buy the gold and stock it away as a savings. Is that the way you view gold?
It's exactly the way I see it, Jay. You know, gold is money. It's not an investment. And to give you an example, you know, an ounce of gold said he buys a man's suit. An ounce of gold bought a Roman senator his toga back in Roman times. so an ounce of gold didn't increase your wealth. all it did is preserve your wealth over that long period of time. And it's the same thing with, for example, crude oil and a variety of other products. You preserve your purchasing power with gold, and that's one of the things that money is supposed to do. The other thing is you'd be able to use it as a form of currency, which we've also created now with gold money. So you really should see gold as money, and you don't have to spend it. You can just save it and accumulate it. And the way I always recommend it, Jay, is every month set aside a little bit in your family budget and purchase gold. This is one of the things you can do very easily with gold money, particularly now because what we've set up with banks in the United States is a mechanism through the U.S. clearing bank clearing system that you can say, I want to have $25 or $100 or $1,000 taken out of my bank account every month on a certain day and used to purchase gold. The money is taken out of your account. It's sent to gold money with essentially no fee, and you're purchasing gold or silver or platinum or palladium under a monthly savings plan.
Yeah, and the advantage of that, of course, is you're sort of dollar cost averaging if you have a certain time every month to do that. That way you're not caught by, you know, the emotions of buying gold and everybody else is buying it and it's going up like mad. That's, that's the human nature to do it that way. So makes a lot of sense to me. Well, James, if you were to draw a line, let's say you were to plot the price of gold in U.S. dollars from 1971 to the present time and draw a line through the average or through the mean of that, would we at this point with $1,140 be above or below that line?
Right, you mean at $1,240? We'd be well below that line, Jay, which means basically that gold is at the moment is undervalued based on historical norms, and just like investments can become overvalued or undervalued, money can become overvalued or undervalued. And recently, we saw how the dollar strengthened against the world's major currencies. The dollar index went up over 100. We're now down around 95.5 on the dollar index, meaning that the dollar is becoming less overvalued, and the price of gold has been going up. The low in December 15 was the low of the correction that began in 2011. The December 16 low in gold was above the December 15 low, and this last correction that we just had, and apparently have finished now, is also above that December 16 low. So what we have is rising prices. We're in an uptrend, and my view is that a new bull market has begun, and it's begun because of what central banks are doing to the purchasing power of currencies worldwide, not just the dollar, but worldwide, because everything's so interconnected these days.
Mm-hmm, for sure. James, I have to just thought of this question I want to ask you. The gold money, you had silver, platinum, and palladium, I believe, in addition to gold. Are you still offering those services? Are those storage? In those,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, because Bitgold has been only about gold, but okay, very good.
Yeah, but and the other thing, Jay, is that with gold money, you get a choice of different countries and different vaulting companies where you want to store your gold. I always make the point that gold is the bedrock asset in your portfolio, and given the fact that the future is uncertain and we don't know what's going to happen, you don't want to take any risks with that bedrock asset. So one of the best ways to prepare for an uncertain future is to diversify as much as possible. So in gold money, we enable you to diversify not only in different metals, but also different geographic locations and, different vaults, which means that you have a global opportunity to globally diversify your precious metals holding, your bedrock asset.
Yeah, because one never knows for sure, right? Places like the United States, Canada, the UK, they certainly seem at the moment safe enough, but who knows?
We have to remember that gold was confiscated in the United States in the 1930s, but it wasn't confiscated by Americans who owned it outside the United States. You always have to plan for an uncertain future.
You certainly do. This question has to do with the Gold Antitrust Action Committee, your friends and mine there. And, they've been making the case for a long time that the paper markets are obscuring the real actual price discovery for gold. Do you buy that?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You have to look at it as two different markets. You have a market for paper gold, in other words, futures contracts, options, and various IOUs. and then you have a market for physical gold, and the two intersect, and they are related to a certain extent. But right now, we're in an abnormal situation in that in the front months, you know, in the near term, the people are paying more for a physical coin or physical weight of gold than they would be paying for a paperweight of gold. So it suggests that, again, gold is extremely undervalued at these prices, and that ultimately gold is going to go higher too, because markets don't like undervaluation. They don't like overvaluation. We're seeing a switch now. The dollar is becoming weak, and I think gold is going to continue to become stronger as the dollar continues to weaken in the years ahead.
Yeah, you think that gold will remain or will continue to be stronger versus all currencies in spite of the fact that others, that some like the euro is gaining on the dollar? So people living in Europe might do well with gold as well vis-a-vis the euro dollar or the euro?
Yeah, really, because you know they talk about floating currencies, but all currencies are sinking relative to gold. In other mm-hmm. words, gold preserves its purchasing power. What gold does, you can't really say any other currency does. And the other thing is that none of the currencies today pay you a fair rate of interest. So why would you even want to hold money in a bank? Because at the mm-hmm. end of the year, you're going to lose purchasing power because of inflation, depreciation of the currency, debasement of the currency by central bank actions. You know, gold is your means of protection to preserve your purchasing power, to preserve your wealth. And that's why I've recommended that everybody should have a little bit of physical gold or silver in their portfolio as a means of protecting against an uncertain future.
You know, James, for the longest time here in America, I thought many decades ago that as we start to live beyond our means, that things would work out and gold would rise and the dollar would decline. And it was just as simple as that. But it wasn't, because there were always these other foreign governments and countries, actually, that would have excess dollars in their banks. Earned because they were export countries, like Japan was and China more recently. And so those countries continued to provide the savings that we in America decided we didn't want to provide. We just lived high on the hog, so to speak, and we lived beyond our means for years on end. Now it's my understanding, if my numbers are correct, that in 2015, 2016, we saw an actual decrease in foreign holdings of U.S. treasuries, something like 12% I saw. Meantime, we're seeing the Social Security money, which was used to buy treasuries, is in decline now. The amount available is in decline with the demographics being what they are, and with the workers and salaries and so forth not anywhere near what they were before. We saw the quantitative easing after 2008, 2009, supposedly that's gone away, but I'm not sure that it has, because there's some mysterious source of U.S. Treasury financing that's coming into the picture, according to some numbers that I've seen. The Treasury simply labels it as other sources, but it's like a big chunk of the total amount of domestic Treasury buying. Do you think this is sort of a handwriting on the wall picture? Because it seems to me there is, especially with zero interest rates, and what's going to happen in order? I mean, the dollar is at the heart of the empire, the Anglo-American empire, I like to call it. If it doesn't have a strong dollar or a dollar that purchases anything, what's going to happen to the empire? And is there a possibility that we revisit 1980, James? I think you think it's not possible, but to defend the dollar, might it be that the bankers and the people that really want to make sure the system is preserved, that they might allow rates to rise, that the more recent rate rises might have nothing to do with global growth or with American economic growth, but more to do with defending the dollar? Is that possible?
They can't do what Volcker did back in 1980, where they raised interest rates sky high in order to defend the dollar. The reason why they can't do it, Jay, is there's just too much debt in the system. That's why central banks have forced interest rates down to zero. It's to make governments look solvent. If interest rates were at some fair level, just consider the U.S. as an example. You have $20 trillion in debt. If interest rates went up to 5% or 6% instead of the 0% that they effectively are now, you'd be talking about $800 to $1 trillion more per annum, the U.S. in expenses by the U.S. government. The U.S. government only makes or has revenue of about $3.5 trillion. They're not going to cut their expenditures in other areas to pay that interest expense. And what will happen is you just feed upon yourself. Higher interest rates mean more borrowing. More borrowing means more interest expense, and that is ultimately leading to hyperinflation. The system that we have is unsustainable, Jay, and that's why we need to have some physical gold and silver as a means of protection. And hopefully what will happen is someday politicians will go back to the wisdom of the framers of the Constitution, which created a sound monetary system and worked reasonably well for 170 years until Nixon abandoned it in 1971.
Yeah, it worked very well. In fact, we had a much more egalitarian, politically secure, happy, I would say, populace on our hands, too, because there was a middle class, and it certainly seems to me, you know, you have all these socialist politicians that want to tax the rich as a means of redistributing wealth. They don't even seem to think and understand there's a connection between honest money and fair markets and people actually earning, becoming wealthy on the basis of what they earn and what they produce, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's pretty sad. But, you know, hopefully we'll learn by reading history and understanding what the Constitution was and how it worked so well for so long, or we're going to go over the edge of a cliff. It's as, I think, stark as that. And
yeah,
we as individuals cannot rely on, you know, the central bank. We can't rely on the government to make the right decisions. We ourselves have to make the right decisions, and that begins by, you know, going back to basics. And one of the most basic things throughout history, you know, gold and silver have been money for 5,000 years. What we're using now as so-called money has only been in an experiment 40 years. It pales in comparison, and given all the problems that we have today, worldwide, not just the United States, it shows that this problem is not getting any better. It's getting worse.
Yeah, I just hope that more and more people understand the connection between an unsound monetary system and all of the other ills that we're seeing really sort of explode on the scene right now. James, we're out of time. It goes so fast with you, as always. Thanks so much for being with us. And it's goldmoney.com. Folks, go to goldmoney.com. I'll have other people, Alistair McLeod and other people, Roy Sabag from Gold Money, on here from time to time. But it was a really pleasure talking to you today, James. And I hope we can do it again sometime in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, I'd like to do that, Jay. Thanks a lot.
All right. Very good. Well, okay, folks, next week, Richard Mayberry. I'm going to be talking to Richard Mayberry. And John Kaiser, actually, is going to come and talk to us about what I think is the greatest exploration story that I've ever seen, well, at least potentially, and that's Novo Resources. So I hope you'll tune in next week. Until then, goodbye and God's blessings to you.
Thank you again for listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor. Please join us again next Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.